By the way, I want to pray for Jason real quick. Father God, we just lift up our precious pastor, Jason, to you as he's going through the healing of his shoulder surgery. Lord, we ask for a quick healing. We ask for full recovery in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So as we move on with the service, Lord, we just posture ourselves in worship still. And all these things I ask in your name. And everyone said, amen.
So before we get into announcements, I just want to say thank you for all your prayers for my dad. Surgery went well. He's recovering. Everything's going good. But keep praying for a speedy recovery, because I know he's not very excited for the recovery. But for announcements, we've got West of 50s is doing a taco bar after church. I saw Beth brought cupcakes, and they looked delicious. So you guys are lucky. And then we've got Wednesday Night Kids. They started their space camp. So make sure to bring your kids. We have some new kids, so it's all exciting, good new stuff. So make sure you bring your kids to that. And then there's the space camp. And then we've got, what else do we have? Now I'm forgetting. Oh, there we go. So potluck, last Sunday's coming up, and it is the second anniversary of the cafe. So since it is the last Sunday, we are still doing double punch, and it is 50% off, and we'll have a special drink for that Sunday specifically. And then offering, four ways to give. You can give online at bridgehelena.com. Text an amount to 84321, or you can mail it to 725 Granite Avenue. I think that's all the announcements. I'm going to send the kids downstairs. And Rich, if you want to come up, he's going to be speaking today. So,
yes, of course. All right. Hope you gave a big hand for Levi there. Doing a good job. Hey, it is great to be here this morning. Well, thank you. If you don't know who I am one of the missionaries that you support, a missionary to rural America, and live across Green Meadow from Jason and Amy, so we're kind of neighbors there. But I'm rarely home on the weekends. We're usually out traveling. We're doing work with different churches. And last Sunday, I flew out of Helena Sunday morning into Atlanta, Georgia, and then had meetings with one of the ministries that we partner with, a ministry called Paul to Timothy Institute, that is helping to raise up leaders in churches across America and actually around the world. They just finished a trip to Botswana that I was not a part of, because I'm a missionary to rural America, not necessarily to Botswana. But I got to spend the week with a wonderful group of people, flew into Atlanta, drove up with another couple that was going up to the meetings from Atlanta up into Tennessee, into the mountains of Tennessee, where it was colder than it is here. And that is not the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be nicer there, but we, you know, had a couple inches of snow, and it was in the low 20s and got down into the teens at night. And the resort area that we were staying with, a ministry center, they made sure that we left the faucets running in all of the rooms so that nothing would freeze. And, you know, had all of that fun stuff, and then realized there was a big storm coming into Atlanta. It's supposed to hit at 7 o'clock Friday morning, and my flight was supposed to leave at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon from Atlanta. The ministry retreat center that we were staying in has no internet and no cell service. And so I was desperately working with everybody that I could, anybody that had any kind of a signal, to try to change my flight. And I got it done, and I got my flight moved to 7 o'clock Friday morning, which meant we had to leave earlier than we planned to from the retreat center and drive back to Atlanta. So we got back to Atlanta Thursday night, and it was beautiful. Sunny, warm, nice. Got up at 4 o'clock Friday morning to get to the airport for my 7 o'clock flight, pulling into the airport about 5 o'clock, actually. Very little traffic because they're supposed to be getting a storm in Atlanta. And got to the airport and it started snowing. And I thought, well, we can make it out before it gets bad. No. Got on the airplane, loaded on, taxied out. And they said, well, we're going to have to wait in line for de-icing. Atlanta is not prepared for de-icing. I think they have one de-icing for every flight that leaves Atlanta. There's one truck. And so we sat there for about 3 hours. And then they said, we don't have enough fuel to sit in line anymore, so we got to go back to the terminal. And we got back to the terminal, and then the captain announced, well, we're going to deplane because now they're shutting down the airport and there's no more flights going in or out. So long story short, finally, by 1:30, they announced that we are actually going to start boarding again. We're going to try this again. And so we got back on the airplane, got out to where we're waiting in line for the de-icing. And the de-icing was quicker. It only took us about an hour and a half in line this time. And enough people had rebooked their flights that I was sitting next to a pilot who was trying to get somewhere. And he told me, he said, well, enough people left the flight that we don't need as much fuel to get to Denver now as we did before. So we can wait in line a little longer this time. And we eventually got de-iced, got up in the air, made it to Denver. They were able to reschedule my my flight out of Denver, and so I got home Friday night. So all of that to say, I am thrilled to be here this morning. I am always happy when we get to be close to home, and appreciate being with all of you this morning. Appreciate your pastor so much. Love Pastor Jason and Amy. Such great people. And I miss times when I'm not around, and I love to just be able to go out and have coffee or lunch with Jason and just visit and talk. And I always feel so encouraged by that. So when Jason asked me to share with you this morning, I began to pray about the message that God would have me. And I know this is not the first Sunday of January or of the new year. And in some ways, it feels like this year's already been going for a long time. It's kind of an odd, usually here's how long it feels like it's been going on. I have not messed up and written 2024 yet this year. So it's just like it just flowed into this year. So I was praying about what God would have me to share with you this morning. And I really feel like the message that I'm sharing with you in some ways is a pretty basic message today, but I really feel like the Holy Spirit just guided and directed me to remind us of some things that are vitally important. And so our text for this morning is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And we're talking about Jesus Christ, the vine, and we are the branches. So John 15, 1 through 8 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So, this passage of Scripture, you know, sometimes Jesus, when he's teaching, he tells a parable, he tells a story, and people don't know what he's talking about. Have you seen that in Scripture? Like Jesus tells this, and then the disciples wait until everybody else leaves, and they say, Jesus, what did that mean? You know? This is not one of those teachings. Jesus was so clear in this passage of Scripture. Yes, it's an illustration. Yes, Jesus is giving this word picture of what this relationship with Jesus Christ looks like, but he is making sure that everybody understands every component of this story. He tells us who the branches are, who the vine is, who the vine dresser is. All of the different roles are plugged in. He gives very specific statements like, you know, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. How many of you like to think you're capable of something? I mean, I do. I read a portion of Scripture like that where Jesus is telling us, you know, if you don't abide in me, you can't do anything. And I'm thinking, well, surely, God, I can do something. I mean, look around. Do we know people who are not connected to Christ, who are not attached to the vine? And we look at their lives and we think, well, God, there's some good things in everybody's life. There's some things that people do. But what Jesus is teaching in this passage of Scripture is, apart from him, we can do nothing that has any value. Apart from him, there is nothing that will last. There is no fruit that is going to be produced in our lives that has any value whatsoever if we are separated from him. And so I want us to take a look at this passage of Scripture this morning as we walk through this teaching that Jesus gives. Now, one thing to keep in mind as we look at this passage of Scripture in John chapter 15, this is some of the very last moments that Jesus is going to have with his disciples before he is crucified. This is within the last few hours before they are going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus knows what is to come. And of course, there's a lot of grief. This is just before Judas is going to betray him. All of these things are coming within the next few hours. And this is what Jesus chooses to focus his attention on. And so I began this by saying, you know, this is some of the basic teaching that we're coming back to as we begin this new year. However, if Jesus thought that this was some of the most important teaching that he could leave with his disciples just before he exits this earth in the physical form, how many of you think it might have some value for us today as well? And so I want us to take a look at this Scripture. Now, there's a couple of things that I want us to take note of as we look at the Scripture. Something that I discovered just recently as I was studying this passage of Scripture a few months ago that changed the way that I view this. If you go back to verse number 2, Jesus says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, as I was studying this passage of Scripture, I looked up that word, takes away, in the Greek language, and there is another definition of that word. In fact, often that word is translated, instead of takes away, he lifts up. Now, I thought that was kind of interesting, because if you are looking at, most likely the context of this is like a grapevine. I've never tried to raise grapes. Okay, I don't claim to be any expert on raising grapes. But what I do know, I've been around some grape vineyards, and if the branches start to fall off, there's a danger of those branches, if they fall down to the ground, that they need to be lifted up and put back in place so that they can be productive. Now, what I saw about this scripture is that my original interpretation of this scripture was, oh, well, if you're not bearing fruit, it says, then he's going to take you away. And then you equate that with the later part of that passage of scripture that says, well, they're worth nothing but to be thrown away and burned. But when I understood that there's actually another meaning, I'm just throwing out this question. Could it be that, and this is what I see in the nature of God, is that God is not quick to throw us away. How many of you are thankful for that? If God was quick to throw people away, I'm pretty sure that all of us in this room would have been thrown away. God is not quick. That's not his nature. God's nature is to help us, to move us in the right direction, to propel us, to motivate us, to be what he desires for us to be. And so when I look at this passage of scripture from that line, what I believe that Jesus is saying in this passage of scripture is, hey, if there's someone that is connected to the vine, now remember, they are connected. If there's no connection at all, that's a problem, okay? But we're talking about a branch that is still connected to the vine, but it's fallen down, it's maybe getting beat up, it's maybe getting trampled underfoot, that Jesus would come down, or the Father would come down and would lift up that branch and put it back on the arbor so that it has everything that it needs to become what God desires for it to become. I'm just thankful for the hand of God in our lives. I'm thankful that God is not quick to just dismiss us and to toss us aside and say, you know, you're just worthless. Those are not words that God speaks. But God wants to nurture us into productivity. Now, all of that to say, there is still a danger of being thrown away and burned. Okay? That comes later in this passage. But I think in the first part of this passage, I believe that the Greek term there should probably be translated that he's lifting us up, that he is supporting us, and he's putting us into a place where we can be productive. So, here are some of the things that we can definitely take away from this passage of Scripture. Number one is that we, as the branches, are called to bear fruit. Okay? Branches that don't produce fruit are not valuable. So, believe it or not, Kim and I moved to Helena, man, almost 10 years ago now. Seems hard to believe. But when we bought a place that's on Green Meadow, and a couple of years after we got there, I planted some fruit trees. Can I tell you that it's been probably 7 years since those first fruit trees were planted? I have not yet gotten a piece of fruit. Obviously, I'm not the only one. Huh? People have given me all kinds of reasons as to why, and people that are smarter than I, and I don't discount what they say. I don't have the best soil. I'm not getting them enough water. I didn't buy the right plants. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. And I'm just trying to learn how to grow fruit. But you know what? I really want fruit. I don't really want trees. I want fruit. That was my purpose in planting those fruit trees, was so that I could eat some fruit. Not so that I could look at trees and wonder if they're going to survive another year. You know what I'm saying? How many of you think God created you to produce fruit, not just to be a tree? That God has a purpose that is bigger than us just staying alive. that God has something that he wants to accomplish in our lives. So the principle of this story is that God created us. We are the branches of the vine for a purpose. That this was not some random act of God that said, "Oh, I just want to be able to look at those branches." That God planted a vineyard that would produce fruit. And that is God's intent in our lives. Now, he tells us a few things in this passage of Scripture that we need to take note of. One is that if we are producing a little bit of fruit, but it's not the best production, that God has a plan to help us to develop more fruit in our lives. If we're producing a little bit of fruit, but God sees the potential in what we can be producing, then God says, "I am going to do something in them. I'm going to prune those branches. I am going to cut them back. I am going to do what is necessary for that branch to produce even more fruit than it is right now." If we are not producing any fruit at all, then there are some more drastic measures that need to be taken. Like, God is going to do something to bring us to the place where we are producing fruit because our purpose in this life is to be fruitful. Our purpose is not to exist. Our purpose is to produce. God gave us purpose. God designed us with purpose. And God wants to see that purpose fulfilled. How many of you know that we as humans can screw up a lot of things in our lives? We can make some dumb choices. We can do things wrong. We can really mess things up. Most of us are pretty good at that. Most of us are pretty good at making a mess of things. But God takes imperfect people and does great things. I was trying to think of a couple of biblical stories to illustrate that point. How many of you remember the story of Samson in the Bible? Who was Samson? He was a judge of Israel. Now, that term judge, little different than our context of a judge today. It's not like sitting in a courtroom and being that kind of a judge, but basically to rule and to direct the people of Israel. And in the story of Samson, it specifically says that he was raised up to bring deliverance to Israel from their enemy. Okay? Now, how many of you knew Samson? He made some pretty dumb choices. He did some dumb stuff. But did God just completely give up on him? No. No. God used him even in the midst of his own stupidity and bad choices. How many of you think maybe we can get in on some of that too? That God can use us even in the midst of our bad choices and stupidity sometimes. Now, I'm not saying all of that so that we have an excuse for that. I'm saying all of that to say it points us to the nature of God. That God loves us, he created us for a purpose, and he's not willing to just let go of that purpose in us lightly. Now, there was a point in Samson's life, remember, where the Holy Spirit left him? And he thought, "Hey, I'm just going to get up and do everything just like before." And he woke up and realized the power of God is gone. And there were devastating consequences in his life. You and I can make some bad choices and do some really stupid stuff. Just because God still loves us doesn't mean we aren't going to face some of the consequences of those choices and decisions. We still have to follow God's plan. But God wants to redeem us. He wants to lift us up. He wants to set us back where we belong. I'm thinking of another example. A godly man David, King David in the Bible. I mean, you know, King David did some things that weren't that great too. But did God give up on him? No. Now, there were consequences for the decisions that David made and the things that David did. But God rescued David from that and set his feet. Why? Because David plugged back into the vine and said, I'm going to gain my power from that vine. I'm not going to do this on my own. We can't do anything on our own. So, this morning I want to look at just a couple of the reasons why we don't always bear fruit. And I want to talk about these a little bit. Number one reason, and Jesus laid this one out very clearly, if we're not connected to the vine, we can't produce fruit. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's, if we disconnect from the vine, there it goes. Fruitfulness is gone. It doesn't matter what you're doing. We've seen examples in history within the church of pastors, leaders, ministers who disconnected from the vine. They're still up there preaching, they're still leading a congregation, but nothing is happening because the power of God is gone because that pastor, that leader has disconnected from the vine. It can happen. Okay? There are many people who have never given their lives to Christ, surrendered their lives to Christ. They're disconnected from the vine. Nothing is going to happen. There's not going to be any fruitfulness that happens when people are disconnected from the vine. So we have to be attached to Christ. But sometimes people are attached to Christ, we're plugged into the vine, and still not really seeing much fruit. So what's going on? Well, sometimes there is a block of nutrients to the branch. What causes the nutrients to be blocked from getting to the branches so that the branches can produce fruit? You know, sometimes the soil's not right. And that tree is planted in soil that's not right. Jesus gives another whole teaching, which I don't have time to go into this morning, about the conditions of the soil for the plant to grow. So the soil of our heart has to be right for the nutrients to get from the vine to the branch so that we can be productive. There are other blockages that get in the way. What are those blockages? Well, anything that is apart from God's will. Sin will block the passage of the nutrients from the vine to the branches. Selfishness, bitterness, anger, you name it. Anything that takes the place of Christ in our lives becomes a blockage for the nutrients to get to where they need to be. If you've ever seen someone that is bound up in bitterness and anger over a situation, can't forgive, won't forgive, chances are pretty high there is no fruit in their lives. Why? Because that bitterness has clogged up all of the channels for that nutrient to flow from the vine to the branches. Good illustration of that is somebody that's having heart issues, right? And we go to the doctor, you go to the cardiologist, and, your arteries are blocked. There's a blockage in there. We've got to get it. Now, maybe there's a little bit of nutrient that's still going through. That's why we're still breathing. That's why we're still alive. Our heart's still beating. But doctors will tell people, hey, if we don't get into surgery right away and get that taken care of, it's going to kill you. And yet, the connection between the physical and the spiritual is so clear to me that we live in that realm that's very much the same. Just like in the physical, in the spiritual sense, yeah, there might be enough going to keep us attached to the vine, but we're withering on the vine. we're drying up. We're unhealthy. We're not in a good place because there are things that we have allowed into our lives, we have taken into our lives that block the flow of the Spirit of God in our lives. How many of you want to be free to be what God wants you to be? Amen? We don't want to live in a state where you... I shouldn't use Jason as an example, but, you know, Jason is home recovering from surgery. I don't think Jason wants to live the rest of his life like he's living today. Okay? You know what I'm saying? When we have an issue, we want it to be taken care of so that we are made whole to be what we can be. I don't think Jason can cast a fly rod right now. And I know that would just about kill him. So you want to get well. And so you've got to make the changes that are necessary, trust the great physician to do the work to make us well so that we can be what God wants us to be. And spiritually speaking, how many of you have ever, you know, just realized walking through life that you've let go of your spiritual focus? Like, you know, you wake up one day and you realize, man, a few months ago, I was on fire for God. I mean, God's Spirit was moving in my life, and I was so excited about it. And now I just feel like, isn't that how things are physically for us too? We can be at our peak performance and feeling really good, and then one day we wake up and realize, man, I just really felt lethargic lately. I just haven't had the energy that I had. I just haven't had, you know, all of those other things. And spiritually, we do that same thing where if we are not continually pulling the nutrients from the vine, then we start to dry up. And I've seen believers who do that. They claim to be following Christ, but they've allowed their lives to just begin to shrivel because they are not pulling the nutrients from the vine every day like they need to be. If we don't have time with God alone, if we're not spending time in prayer, if we're not spending time in the Word, then we begin to dwindle on the vine. We begin to shrivel up, and things change from where they need to be. So we've got to get rid of the blockages. One of the big blockages that happens is self. Listen to John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus says, truly, this is just a few chapters before where we were reading in the text, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now that sounds so counterintuitive when you first read it. How can something that's dying begin to produce fruit? Well, because until the seed dies, it doesn't come to life. I mean, we all know that, right? If you've ever planted anything, you know that it comes from the seed. And from that seed. So what is Jesus saying in that passage of Scripture? He says, if we don't crucify self, if we don't put to death self, then that spiritual life does not grow. This is where new birth comes in. When Jesus says, you must be born again, that old self has to be put to death so that this new life can be raised to life. We have become spiritual beings when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ. We surrendered. But how many of you know self keeps raising up its ugly head? How many of you battle that on a regular basis? Yes, we all do. The Apostle Paul did. The disciples did. It's such a normal part of life to be battling the desires of the flesh. First part of the year, a lot of people, a lot of churches have an emphasis on fasting and prayer. What is the purpose of fasting? Well, it's to deny self. It's not to earn brownie points with God. It's not to manipulate God into doing what we want Him to do. It's to deny self, to put the flesh to death so that the spirit can be raised to new life. The couple that I rode from Atlanta down to Tennessee, or up to Tennessee, get my geography straight there, they are missionaries in the Hispanic world over on the East Coast. And they have some young grandchildren, and they have a 4-year-old grandson, and their church that they were going to, it has an emphasis on fasting at the beginning of the year. And so their grandson came to their mom just before we left and said, "Mom, Jesus told me what I'm supposed to fast during this season." And she said, "Oh, really? What is that?" And she says, "I'm going to fast sleep. I think Jesus wants me to not sleep." His mom said, "I don't think so. I don't think that was God speaking to you." She said, I've been praying too, and I think God wants us to fast sugar." Said his eyes got really big, and he says, "Then what would we eat for breakfast?" Now, aren't we all like that? Just like a 4-year-old, we want to fast the stuff that we don't want in our life anyway. And we want the stuff that we want. And we don't really want to put down the flesh to be what God wants us to be. But when we crucify the flesh, then we are raised up, and the nutrients begin to flow from that vine into our life, and the power of the Holy Spirit begins to operate among us, and fruit is produced. So I want to close with just a few lessons that I learned during COVID. We didn't really know what was going to happen in our lives in U.S. missions. We had a full schedule that was scheduled, and COVID hit, and everything shut down, and our schedule was cleared up. And so Kim and I went to Missoula, and she started working at a farm there when she was in high school and has worked there off and on ever since, including most of this past year she was working there. But during COVID, I worked there for a month or two, and my job was to prune the fruit trees. I'd never done that before. I didn't know anything, but the owner of the farm began to teach me some things about pruning fruit trees. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, some lessons that I learned while pruning fruit trees. Number one, green leaves does not mean a fruitful tree. The apple trees that I was pruning had not been pruned for a long time. They were full of green leaves. But green leaves was not that tree's purpose. That tree's purpose was to produce fruit. And I'm going to tell you that it can be deceiving. We can look at our own life, we look at those around us, and we think, "Oh, but look how green and lush everything is." Green leaves are not the purpose of that tree. Fruit is the purpose. What does God judge by? He judges by the fruit that is produced, not the foliage. Second lesson. The branches that reach out are the fruitful branches. The branches that reach out are the fruitful branches. The branches that were shooting straight up, they're not going to produce fruit. Apples don't grow on branches that are growing straight up. They grow on the branches that are going out. Until I had pruned apple trees, I didn't know that. But boy, those look like nice new shoots. I think we should keep those. Everything that's growing straight up, farmer told me, you cut that off. that will not produce fruit. So what's the lesson for us? God designed us to reach out. Do we need to reach up to Christ? Yes. But if we don't reach out to others around us, we will not be fruitful. Fruitfulness comes as we reach out. Next lesson. Unfruitful branches block the sunlight from getting to the fruitful ones, diminishing the fruit of the whole tree. Unfruitful branches block the sunlight from getting to the fruitful branches, diminishing the production of the entire tree. So this is what I take from that. In the local church, we're all one. But if there are branches that are being unproductive, they block the nutrients from getting to the fruitful branches, and it diminishes the production of the entire church. Because we're all connected. What happens when one person's life affects the entire body? It's impossible for it to be any other way. It's how God designed things. We are interconnected. If we're all attached to the same vine, we can't. So you can't disregard what's going on in somebody else's life. We have to help each other be fruitful. God's design. The next lesson that I learned is that to be fruitful, trees need to be pruned to the point of the tree looking barren and unhealthy. When I was pruning those apple trees, when I got there, they were nice and green and bushy, and I'm thinking, man, those are healthy-looking trees. And when I was done pruning a tree, it looked dead. I mean, I'm serious. The owner said, you cut that off, come in here with a chainsaw, we cut the top whole section of the tree off, we're cutting this down, we're cutting this branch off, I want you to trim all of these off, everything that's going straight up is going out, and we're left with like three spindly-looking branches. But do you know that when that happened in the spring, by the fall, those trees had produced the greatest harvest of apples that they had had in years. And I looked at that and I thought, my goodness, it looks like I killed the tree. Well, what's the application? I'm telling you, because God loves us and He wants us to be fruitful, He will trim us back to where it looks painful. It can be ugly. It's not fun. Boy, there was a lot of stuff in our life that had to be cut out. Boy, there was a lot of garbage that needed to be taken off of that tree. But when it happens, then that tree is free to produce what God intended it for it to produce. And the last lesson, left to its own devices, trees become less healthy, not more healthy. If you just leave a tree alone, it's not going to get healthier. It's not going to produce more fruit. Okay? It might survive. It might be there. It might even produce a couple of apples. But if you want that tree to be productive and fruitful, then it needs to be taken care of. And there is a vine dresser, according to the Scripture, that the role of the Father in the Scripture that we read is to be the one that oversees the vineyard or the orchard or however. I used apple trees because I'm more familiar with that than I am with grapes, okay? regardless, God is the one who takes care of the orchard. God is the one who does that work. And if we refuse to allow God's work in us, we will not become more healthy. If we neglect to focus on our spiritual life and spiritual development, we will not become more healthy. We will become less healthy. So maybe we could have the worship team come on back, and we'll close with a song or two. But I just want to ask a couple of questions this morning, and I'm not. I don't know everybody here. There may be some in this room who have never connected to the vine. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Can I, in a kind way, tell you that what you've been doing in your life to this point is spinning your wheels? You've been trying to be productive, but you can't be unless you're connected to the vine. And if that's you this morning, I invite you to come to the altar and connect to the vine. Be grafted in to the vine and allow the nutrients of the Spirit of God to begin to flow into your life so that you can be what God designed for you to be. Because when you're not connected to Him, you'll never get there. Second of all, I want to address the people that maybe feel like, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but I've done some really dumb and stupid things. And I want to encourage you this morning that God, the vine dresser, is not quick to throw us away. That God loves us, created us for a purpose, wants to see that purpose fulfilled in your life, and He hasn't given up on you. But if you've been feeling discouraged, if you've been feeling like you've let God down, you've let other people down, I want you to know this morning that God welcomes you back and says, let's work on this and let's make you productive again. And lastly this morning, I want to just say, if there are those in this room that as you examine your own heart this morning, you realize there are things in my life that have stopped the flow of the Spirit of God into me, and I'm attached to the vine, but I'm drying up because there are things that need to be dealt with in my life, then as the worship team leads in a song or two this morning, I just want to encourage you to find a place at the altar and just allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart this morning. Would you stand? Let me pray for you. And then as the worship team leads, feel free to come and allow God to work in your heart. So, Father, I just thank You for the opportunity this morning to share Your word with this wonderful group of people. And I ask, God, that You would draw us near to Yourself. Lord, I thank You that You care so deeply about us that You are not willing to give up on us, but to make us all that You desire for us to be. Lord, as we surrender our lives to You, God, begin to flow into our lives all of the nutrients to make us fruitful and to give us fruit that will last for all of eternity. Father, we love You, and we give ourselves to You for Your purposes. In the mighty name of Jesus.